The Green New Deal is not just the sweeping package of legislation introduced by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That's the first thing Craig Calhoun wants you to know about the plan. Calhoun is university professor of the social sciences at ASU, and he's the organizer of a conference that kicks off tomorrow in Tempe that explores the Green New Deal and what it could mean for the future of work in our country. I sat down with him to talk more about it, and we began with a definition. Beyond legislation and debate, what exactly is the Green New Deal?
The Green New Deal means trying to address a variety of problems at once to make a better future for American people. We've got a big challenge about the future of jobs and the future of work, about what technology is doing. We've got challenges about the inequality our economy has brought us, and we've got the challenges of climate change and the environment. The Green New Deal is the project of trying to work on all of these together.
And there are many ways in which it is outlined in the actual package that was introduced in Congress, and we'll get into some of those. So when it comes to the future of work in America, this would kind of change everything, right? Like you're looking at a fundamental shift in how our market would function because of this federal jobs guarantee that is written into this. What exactly does that mean?
Okay, that would be big news. But the first thing to know is it's changing anyway. It's not like the economy or the job market are standing still. We've been seeing deindustrialization, closing of factories. We've been seeing shifts in technology so that even if we bring back the factories, they will be so heavily automated they won't create the same number of jobs. We've seen globalization and its effects. We've seen the shift from the old Rust Belt towards the Southwest and South, the Sun Belt. So we are seeing changes all the time, and we are going to see even more extreme changes, whether there's a Green New Deal or not. Now, Green New Deal says we need to solve that problem. But we also have to pay attention to the environment. We can't solve that problem by saying everybody should be a coal miner or that we can go back to the 1960s, that we can go back to the kind of factory production we had then, partly for environmental reasons, partly because there's no market to do it that way. So we have to look at a wider, more integrated picture.
But this is a federal jobs guarantee that would really shift the way that we look at the market, the free market in this country. What does this say?
The idea of a federal jobs guarantee is to say during this transition, we need to make sure nobody gets left out, that we don't lose whole sections of America geographically or in economic terms or in terms of occupations. A lot of the issue is going to be retraining or readjustment, or it's going to be solved over generations. Children will go into different lines of work from their parents, and we don't want to lose 45, 50-year-old parents and wait for their children to grow into new jobs. So a federal jobs guarantee is a way of saying there needs to be a job for everyone. We hope the private sector is producing the vast majority of these jobs at tomorrow as it is today. But we also think there need to be some guarantees. That doesn't necessarily mean a guarantee of federal jobs. It means the guarantee that the federal government will work to make sure there's a job for everybody in a mixture of supporting private industry and doing this, sometimes giving tax breaks to industries that are creating jobs, sometimes creating federal jobs or supporting state and local.
Let's talk technology then, right? That's got to be a big part of this conversation as you talk about this sort of economic shift that continues to happen in our country, whether it was now or 100 years ago, right? So how is technology already reshaping the market, and what kind of workforce do we need to meet the demands that are already there?
Technology's been reshaping the market with successive waves of invention. We've had one big cluster of these since the 1970s that have brought us new kinds of products like our smartphones and cars that are now half computer, but have also changed production processes so that to build a car takes about a tenth of the number of workers it used to take to build a car. Automation technologies are a very big part of this. At the same time, there are other technologies that are also changing the future of work. Connectivity technologies, if you want to think of it that way. Infrastructure that changes how things are connected up. So already when we are manufacturing any kind of large product. It's bringing parts from all over the world, often just in time, being flown in, only spending a day or two in a warehouse before they're immediately put into production. That's changing the job market for truck drivers. That's changing the job market for a whole host of workers who were part of the supply chains. Skill levels, the good jobs that are being created in this, often require skills that we weren't teaching in schools 10 years ago. So we need to be upgrading what we're teaching, primary, secondary, college and university, and thinking about the skills of a future workforce. So education is a big component of this. One of the issues for the Green New Deal is, are we going to support teachers and schools in training people for the new jobs that are being created in a new economy? Right now, we have terrible pay for teachers. We have weak support for schools. And surprise, we're not getting the education that our students need to become the workers of the future.
Okay, so then I have to ask the question about the political reality here, right? So the Senate rejected the Green New Deal in March. Democrats were not entirely united on the idea. How do you create the kind of political will you would need to make something this massive happen?
Well, we're working on that by holding the conference so that people can learn more about this. And one of the first things to learn is the Green New Deal is not just the package of legislation.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The concept wasn't coined by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez or any current politician. It's been brought into prominence. People have seized on it, like AOC, and said, hey, that could be a good idea. Can we work together on that? And what they're looking for is precisely something to bring people together. Mm-hmm. So one issue is, can you get Republicans and Democrats cooperating with each other around a package of legislation? Maybe it won't be exactly this set of bills. It will be modified versions. But for goals that are pretty widely shared. What's missing from just saying the bills is that this has to be something people want on a wider scale in the country, or it's not going to happen in Washington, but it's also not really going to work. The New Deal of the 1930s, the famous New Deal with Franklin Roosevelt and all, wasn't just produced in Washington. It was produced around the country as we had the large-scale employment crisis, the Depression. At the same time, the federal government can do certain things that the states can't do in terms of marshaling large-scale resources and shifting some of the playing field for this. So I think we need both.
But when you talk about a Green New Deal, like the New Deal of the 1930s, like you say, the problem I can't get past in my head is politically is that this is about bigger government, right? Much bigger government in some cases, and it was in the 30s. We're not in the kind of Great Depression we were in then to get us out of this. Where do you think you're going to convince people who are all about small government to come on board?
People who are only interested in small government and not in any other issue aren't going to come on board with this or any other attempt to produce an improved society by means of government. This isn't just about big government. So one thing that might happen is using government as a major tool in this. And I think that sometimes major government programs can be extremely helpful and extremely popular. So take something like Social Security. Do people think, oh, that's big government, I hate it, I'm sending back my check every month? No, they don't. Right? When they see benefits from government programs, they tend to like those programs. But we need a buy-in. People need to want that. They need to see the benefit. And part of what the Green New Deal is about is the discussion to try to bring about a buy-in to a package of programs, partly federal. I think we do need some new things. But we also need things like improved schools, which is not mainly a federal issue. Mm-hmm. During the last 40 years, when we've been talking a lot about how to get rid of big government, the government has been growing. It's been growing under Ronald Reagan. It's been growing under George Bush. It's been growing under Donald Trump. The programs, the ideas about getting rid of government have shifted who benefits. But we haven't actually reduced government. We need to make government work well. We need to make it efficient, but we need to also target it to human needs. And that's what this is about.
All right. That is Craig Calhoun, University Professor of Social Sciences at ASU. Craig, thank you for coming in.
My pleasure. Thank you.